Blog Talk Radio.
Going into the corner, Gordie Howe goes in to fight for it. He and Zygentoff have it. Back to Walt, not in front. Here's Bobby Hull, shoots good! Bobby Hull!
Juneau trying to make a play. Lemieux steals, and he's up against Raymond Bourque and Adam Oates. Coming to the Bruins, they got around both men, cutting for the net. He's in on goal. Hey! Charlton scores! What a goal!
Brunet carries in, rolling in front of them, and in a shot! Desjardins following the play, and even from the short side, here he is again! Scores! Desjardins! It is now waiting around the...
All right, hockey fans, you're listening to the hard-checking, kick-saving, sudden-death scoring NHL Breakdown. I'm your host, Scott Levy, joined as always by George Kurtz of RotoExperts.com. We're bringing you all the on- and off-ice action, as well as keeping you fans and you fantasy owners fully informed at the top of your respective leagues with our fantasy reports that include the IR, goalie, line updates, and waiver wire recommendations. That is all set to start that regular feature on Friday, but as I just tweeted seconds ago, I might have to give at least a little bit of an overview for the injuries, just considering the landscape of things. So we'll get to that in a moment, but today is, of course, Monday, October 1st, just 2 days away from the drop of the puck for the new National Hockey League season. George, I tweeted out a little while ago that, you know, after the hectic schedule, and I know for you it's even more hectic with baseball and particularly football, the month of September, but we have a hectic schedule. We usually throw in an extra couple of podcasts. Our podcasts are usually longer than they usually normally are in the month of September, just to get us ready for the National Hockey League season, and specifically the fantasy hockey season in particular. So these last couple of days after the fantasy drafts are over and all that extra hectic podcast time is over, it's a little bit of a lull, a little bit of anticlimactic for me, so just figured we would sort of relax, have a little fun, and sort of make not pointless speculations, but I know you, and not just you, I sort of felt this way for a while too, but a lot of people, you know, these speculation things, somewhat pointless. I mean, because how often does it really come out to be true? It only gives fodder for people to come at us, but, you know, frankly, at least for me, that can a bit be fun. But I do find it interesting, in all seriousness, I do find it interesting sometimes to look back at the predictions that we make at the beginning of the season just to see, you know, where we went right, where we went wrong, how things played out differently. So that is what we are going to focus on today. But as I said, I'm just going to start with at least just a general overview. There's not going to be too much specific information here, but just particularly with, you know, a lot of fantasy drafts wrapping up over the last couple of days, this last week, of course, and for fantasy owners just to sort of prepare themselves, maybe know that they have to make a move or two, putting somebody on IR, at least when they officially get there, just give them a little bit of that kind of feeling there. In Anaheim, of course, we know that Corey Perry is going to be out 20 weeks. I believe Atlanta tweeted out the other day. Why not just say 5 months? It's going to be 5 months before he gets back on the ice. Kessler, still the hip problem. Don't be surprised if he misses, you know, a couple of weeks. I mean, it could just be a couple of days, but actually, if you ask me, I think it'd be smarter if they sort of give him the first month or so off. You know, I mean, there's a lot of debate over the off season whether he should just wait until around Christmas time or maybe even take the season off, because he's just not 100% healthy, a big reason why he had a huge drop in fantasy ownership, not drafted all that much except in the deepest of leagues. Even when he comes back, expect him to be really more that strict third-line defensive forward in that classic 1980s sense of the role, rather than the modern sense of, okay, third-line center might be defensively oriented, but he's expected to throw in 20, 25 goals. But either way, keep a close eye on how the Kessler situation plays out, and don't forget Nick Ritchie, is still not signed for the team. In Arizona, Galchenyuk's got the groin injury. He's going to miss the beginning of the season. It's a little bit unclear about how long that will be, but definitely expected to miss the first few games at a minimum. Now, Bergeron for the Boston Bruins is expected to be back and playing from the drop of the puck, but he does have the back spasm issue. Only played a very limited late in the preseason, so he is going to expect him not to be at 100% at least to start the season out. But news out of Boston today is that Tory Krug will miss the first week of the regular of the regular season before he gets back on the ice. In Buffalo, Ritolainen in particular, sounds like he's a little bit nicked up, as well as Sheary, although there's a feeling that if they miss any time, it will only be a game or two before they get back back on the ice. Victor Rask, as many of us already know, is going to be out for a little while with a hand surgery. Corey Crawford practicing for the first time today, taking some shots. He himself said he's not quite 100%, but he's getting there, expects to be there shortly. And then later in the this morning, Quenneville came out and said, Crawford's 100%, or at least 100% cleared. I should be a little more specific about that. So obviously we expect Crawford to miss at least the first couple of weeks of the season before he realistically gets back on the ice as well. In Columbus, again, as most of us have heard last week, Seth Jones going to be out in 4 to 6 weeks before he returns in Dallas. Steven Johns looks like he's going to miss at least a few games before he gets back on the ice. Mike Green and George, I think you mentioned this on one of our recent shows, got the sort of a little bit of weird sort of kidney infection illness thing, going to keep him out for at least a few games, maybe a week or two to start the season as well for them. And I thought it was sort of interesting. Well, I mean, it does make sense, but it is just sort of weird to name your brand new captain for the Montreal Canadiens, very deserving in Shea Weber, but he's going to be out until Christmas. I mean, it's just weird. Not that it's not justified or the right choice to make, but, you know, you name your captain today, but, oh, by the way, he's not, even though we knew this, he's not going to be playing for us for at least 3, maybe 4 months or so as well. Corey Schneider sounds like he's not going to be starting this season. That's pretty much a definite. It's just a matter of it's unclear about how long that's going to be. Is it just going to be a couple of games, a couple of weeks, or are we looking at a month or two before we get back? George might have a little bit more information on that on Friday's show when we do our full fantasy reports. Andrew Ladd also with an undisclosed injury, but he's expected to make at least the first few games of the season for the New York Islanders. I'm sure Islander fans everywhere are crestfallen about that. Ottawa, we know that Peugeot is going to be has a torn Achilles and going to be out at least 4 or 5 months. Actually, I think it's more like 6 months before he returns, if he returns at all this season. And Daniel Sprong for the Pittsburgh Penguins, and he's an intriguing player, as we talked about recently on our sort of sleepers and possible breakout show, because I think Pittsburgh is really hoping he becomes and develops into a top six forward this season. I know they want to give him that opportunity, but he does have a lower body injury that's going to cause him to miss at least the first couple of games of the season for the Pittsburgh Penguins. And Justin Schultz with a upper body injury, doesn't believe that he's going to miss any time, but there is a chance that he could also miss a couple of games to start the season. And what do you know? Shock upon shocks for the St. Louis Blues. The Fabry and Steen, both day-to-day with lower body and upper body injuries, respectively. Obviously, I'm being sarcastic here because we know these guys have a litany of injuries and have trouble staying healthy. Steen's case, we know that he is effective when he is healthy. Fabry, we believe that will be the case if he could ever stay healthy. So keep an eye on that situation as well. Kucherov's injury, the lower body injury, and Tyler Johnson's upper body injury for Tampa Bay Lightning isn't expected to be serious, but it is something to sort of keep an eye on as well. Similar with Zach Hyman for the Toronto Maple Leafs as well. Those are sort of the notable injuries, or particularly notable injuries. So it could create a couple of opportunities, especially for some people. I know that Kontios, I believe is how you pronounce his name, in Anaheim. Looks like he's going to make the team, partly because of this Corey Perry injury. But everything I've read, and I've only seen a very limited amount of preseason action from the Ducks, like live in person in terms of watching the games. But everything I'm reading is that he was sort of possibly pushing his way onto the roster anyway and could be a guy to keep an eye on long term. I don't really expect him to be really much of a fantasy impact kind of player, but it is sort of notable that how well he's played and the fact that he just sort of kept coming on and kept coming on. So, again, certainly from a hockey fan standpoint, player to watch, much more of a long shot from a fantasy standpoint. All right, George, getting back to the predictions. As I was saying, I want to start off with a couple of questions just because I don't want to spoil it, because I normally I would save these couple of questions to later in the show. But based on talking about what we believe are going to be the division winners and how we think the standings are going to lay themselves out over the course of the season, and then obviously telling you who our playoff teams are going to be, it would spoil the question of, What playoff team from last year do you think is not going to make it? And what non-playoff team from from last year do you think has a good chance of making it? So those are the two questions I want to start off with today when we're talking about these season predictions that will, of course, all come true, at least 90-95% of them. But all joking aside, George, starting with those couple of questions and looking to this season and the predictions we're going to make, let's start off with the playoff team from last year. Which one, and I don't necessarily want to limit you to one if you think there's an obvious multiple teams, but I'm only asking for one. Playoff teams, George, that made it last year, don't think they're going to make it this year. Who are the ones that pop up in your head as most likely to fill that category? George?
Well, I think the Eastern Conference is pretty easy for me. The playoff team that I don't think is going to make it is the New Jersey Devils. They got to a very hot start last year. Taylor Hall had a monster season. I think Hall's going to have a good season. Again, I don't know quite to the degree he had last year. But the problem is, I think their team – I mean, who are we taking out of the playoffs here? Toronto, Boston, Florida, Tampa, Washington, Columbus, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia. I mean, I get Philadelphia has issues of their own. Yeah, but I got those teams ahead of the Devils. The Devils are team number 9. Yeah, so I think they're a team that's going to be left out. I think the Eastern Conference is the haves and have-nots. You have 8 good teams, 8 bad teams. I think the Devils they may be the best of the bad teams, but that still leaves them on the outside looking in. I don't think they get in. Schneider's already hurt. We don't know when he's going to return, although it looks like it may not be as far. It may not be as long as originally thought. But, they didn't really add anything to the offense here. Maybe Hishire takes that next step. Maybe he doesn't. I have worries about the Devils. They're my team in the Eastern Conference that doesn't make it.
Yeah, and I think you said it perfectly. And I know, when we had our draft on Friday, we were talking about this around the table when we were drafting. And I think you might have even mentioned it on one of our recent shows. The Eastern Conference is exactly as you said. It's such an obvious case of the has and the have-nots. So Jersey would sort of seem like the obvious team to go with here, so they're going to be my Eastern Conference pick as well. I could see them pushing it, and I wouldn't be bowled over and shocked if they made it, especially if some other teams, like Philadelphia that you mentioned, having maybe some questionable issues, especially in goaltending, if, Elliott doesn't sort of bounce back and have a complete season there. But when you look at the Eastern Conference teams, I just don't know how it's not the New Jersey Devils that you pick here. All right, George, moving on to the Western Conference, what team sort of jumps out at you as the most likely or multiple teams to not make the playoffs that made it last year? Is it as obvious as the Eastern Conference, or is the Western Conference a more complicated story in your mind? George?
I think the Western Conference is a little tougher. But you're sort of going with the same team here. The last team that got in Colorado. They had a great season last year, but it still bothers me that they are a one-line team. McKinnon, Landeskog, Rantanen. After that, there's not much else to worry about there. So that worries me there until they get more depth there. They only got in by a point last year over the St. Louis Blues. One little point. St. Louis made additions this year. They're a better team. You add O'Reilly, stuff like that. So they alone, I think, are better than Colorado. I might want to think about the Calgary Flames, that they might get in over Colorado also. Remember, Calgary was really in fine shape last year. Fine shape. Mike Smith goes down with a groin injury, team falls apart. Right? I mean, that's really what happened to Calgary. Smith went down, the backup goaltenders couldn't do the job, and it all went, all went to pot. I understand they finished 11 points, 5.5 games behind Colorado. That's a lot to make up. That's a lot to say a goalie would have made that difference, but I think he might have. Either way, they've made some additions this year. Smith is healthy. So I like the way they are. I think Colorado's a team that won't get in. I have worries about Minnesota as well. I don't think they're a mortal lock to do it either. This team's always the way they are. They're always in that 5-7 range. A good team, not great team, can never get over that hump. They're a year older now. Parisi's not the same player. Suda's not the same player. They really haven't made any additions either there. I worry about them as well. But I'll say Colorado's a team that doesn't make it.
George, again, I think you sort of put, at least for me, from my perspective, you sort of put it in a really good way. A really good perspective, and one that I agree with almost everything you said. Colorado's a team I kind of got to go with for the same reason you said, it's the one-line team. I am looking for, Yost and Kerfoot in particular to step up, but even if they do, I don't know if they're capable or realistically, or if it's realistic for them to step up enough to really sort of fill that second line scoring gap enough to make you a legitimate playoff team. You know, so that's my word here. Even though I expect development, I just don't know if it's enough there. And I love what you said about Minnesota. I mean, I was sort of talking earlier today with some Minnesota people, some bloggers, you know, and this Minnesota team, I mean, they're a team. I mean, I don't look at this team and go, oh, my God, they're going to crash and burn. They're going to be one of the six or eight worst teams in the NHL. But it's hard for me to see them quite making the playoffs, or even if they do make the playoffs, how they're not first-round fodder, kind of pretty much as you said, as they seem to always be here. You know, I don't want to slam them because I don't think they're that bad, but I just don't see all that much upside here unless you have, you know, a player really sort of, you know, exceed our expectations. Zach Parise, not the guy that he was when he was in his prime, but he rolls back the clock a couple of years. This back injury that really affected him from basically the last 2 years, now that he finally had surgery, can he sort of be for a whole season what he was for the last 25, 30 games of last season? That's a big open question. So, you know, and that individually is not enough. Is Coyle finally going to be the player that he was sort of expected to be a couple of years ago and just has never developed to be? I like Erickson Ek, but I don't know if he's going to make any sort of grand leap that he's going to make, become like, you know, a really game-changing forward. And I think that's basically going to happen. At least one or two players have to take a big step forward for Minnesota not to be that team that we're talking about. And, George, even though I'm not picking them here as a team that I think they're going to miss the playoffs, L.A. looks bad in the preseason. They just really did. And I know they got some moving parts there. Kovalchuk's new. You got to sort of, you know, get him, you know, into the system and chemistry and get him up to speed and all of that, you know, and a couple of new players in that lineup as well. But I just didn't like the way they look. I'm not necessarily picking them as a team that are surefire not going to make it. But when we do our standings and our playoff predictions, for me, they actually might not be in there. So ultimately, I'm agreeing with you that Colorado is a team that I am definitely picking, but I'm sort of definitely there with you on Minnesota in doubting them quite a lot. And I'm now a little bit worried about L.A., where I wasn't quite as worried about them, say, 2 weeks ago when preseason games were really starting. All right, George, well, let's flip it over to the other side. Non-playoff teams, and I think you already sort of gave us one hint of a team in the Western Conference, but we're starting back in the Eastern Conference. Non-playoff teams from last year that you think is going to make it this year. So, George, who's going to turn it around and get into the second season this year in the East?
Well, anyone who's been listening to this show over the past couple of months knows how high I am on the Florida Panthers. You know, they barely missed the playoffs last year. All right, and I love what they've done here. Yeah, it happened there. I think the team gels all the more together. It's another team that probably makes the playoffs. Luongo doesn't get hurt last year. I understand, once again, Luongo, you know, he's not going to play 65 games. You're really hoping 52, 53 games, somewhere in that range from him, and that's going to be a concern. It may be why they're not one of the better teams. I can't put them up there with Toronto, Boston, and Tampa. That division is literally the haves and have-nots. Tampa, Boston, Toronto, Florida, all good teams. Detroit, Montreal, Ottawa, terrible. Buffalo, I don't want to say they're terrible. They're up and coming, but still far from good. You know, so that team, they're going to destroy that division. Yeah, so I like what Florida's done. I think they, by far, that's why I think they have no shot here. Florida easily gets in over the Devils. And even if the Flyers end up being a better team, I think they get in over the Flyers as well.
Yeah, I mean, all I can say is I absolutely agree with everything you said. It sort of seems clear as day to me. You know, New Jersey out, maybe Philadelphia sort of a little questionable, as you said. You know, but Florida is the obvious choice for me as well in the Eastern Conference. So let's go bounce over to the Western Conference, which we already said is a little bit more complicated here. We already threw out more than one team that we're at least worried about. Is there one team that you think is a surefire bet, or is there multiple teams in the West that you think are likely to make the playoffs who didn't make the playoffs last year? George?
Yeah, the West is more complicated. When we talk about Colorado, I think they're the one team that may not make it. I don't like Minnesota, and what you said about the Kings is extremely true. Sharks are in, all right? Nashville's in, Winnipeg's in. After that, I mean, you can make arguments for and against these other teams here. The problem is, who are you putting in? Okay, I'll put St. Louis in. I like the additions they've made. Okay, I think once again, you already made the joke, and it's a joke we've all made many times. The Bray and Steen are already out. Shocking. Okay, that we knew that was coming. You know, these two guys that just don't stay healthy. Steen never stays healthy. Fabri can't stay healthy for a week, more or less, a season. If they ever do, boy, that team's even deeper than what they are right now. But I think they're in. All right, so I'm going to put St. Louis in. Now you go down. I don't think Dallas makes it. I like what they've done. But who else are we taking out here? Can they get in over Minnesota? You know, it's possible. I mean, you realize Dallas only was behind Minnesota by 9 points, 4.5 games. Yeah, I just don't know if they've made enough additions on defense. Can Heiskanen be that player, you know, to really transfer them to that next level? I don't like Minnesota. I don't. I just don't know if I like Dallas to get in over them, you know, or the Kings are going to drop out. You know, Dallas only was 6 points behind them, 3 games. So I think that's possible. But you got the Flames in there, too. Flames, I think, improve. All right, I don't think Edmonton, Vancouver, and Arizona are a threat. You know, so I think, you know, out of those teams that we've talked about, Minnesota, Colorado, St. Louis, the Kings, Flames, you have 5 teams battling for 3 spots. You know, and who are you going to put in, who are you going to put out? And I'm not thrilled about Anaheim either, by the way. You know, you got injuries to Corey Perry. Which, by the way, Corey Perry's injury may be addition by subtraction. That might actually help the team. But Kessler being out, you know, you need that depth down the middle. It hurts your overall depth, especially when you got so much money tied up in these two that you can't really do much about it. So I do worry about the Ducks in some ways. So I think the Western Conference to me is more wide open. I said I only have 3 teams really. Nashville, I think Vegas gets in. I think they're a good team. You know, I think San Jose is a good team. Winnipeg. You know, so I kind of like those teams. But everybody else is sort of jumbled here, with the exception of teams that I think are definitely out. Edmonton, Vancouver, Arizona, Chicago. You know, so which team do we believe? I think it's not easy to say here. I definitely have Colorado out. I just don't like one-line teams. I don't think the defense or goaltending is enough to make up for it. So I think Colorado's on the outside there. St. Louis, Dallas, Kings, Flames. You know, who else is out? And I think that comes down to maybe which team makes the best moves during the season. Which team stays healthier? That's always a big part of this. Which team could stay healthier? St. Louis is already down. But I don't think that's a major down because, well, they knew that. Anybody who wasn't expecting Fabry and Steen to get hurt just doesn't pay attention. So I'm sure the Blues knew that very well. So who else can get in there? It's going to be intriguing to me. So also, like I said, I think I like the idea of St. Louis getting in. I'll put them in over Colorado. But I don't trust Minnesota. I don't trust the Kings. I don't trust the Ducks. But the problem is I don't necessarily love the Flames or Stars to vault over those teams either. I think they're all sort of the same here. That's the issue here. So the only one I definitely feel comfortable with is the Blues over the Avalanche.
You know, I really see where you're coming from, you know, and everything that you sort of said about the West. In fact, when specifically the Central Division, you know, the way I have it, and we'll get to sort of it, you know, a little bit later in the show, I've got sort of a bracket of the bottom of three of the bottom four teams. Where I bracketed them because, like, I could see them completely jumbled up in any order, and I can see all three of them missing the playoffs. I can see one of them squeezing in as a wild card team, and depending what happens in the Pacific Division, possibly two, but that's a little bit more of a long shot here. Definitely down with you with St. Louis. I, on the other hand, I know you're sort of vacillating a little bit on the Flames. And whether you think they'd really get in, but I really like what they did the offseason. I think the subtraction of Hamilton sort of makes a lot of things fall in line for that defense. I'm expecting Brody to bounce back, and by extension Giordano, even though he's going to be back telling his offside, that's where he's played his best hockey, both offensively and defensively. I don't think it's quite the case for Giordano. He's played, you know, great with or without him, but, you know they're going to be good. Hanson on the second pairing with Hamonic makes a whole lot of sense to me. So I sort of like the way the defense is sort of shaping up. Assuming Mike Smith can stay healthy and not have that injury like he did last year, I think he's at least solid enough in goaltending. And I really like what they did with the forward lines. You know, obviously I'm talking about Lindholm and the fact that he's going to be on the top line with Goudreau and with Monahan. But the Neal signing, especially with him landing on the second line, I think he's a good match with, you know, in terms of style of play with Tkachuk on the other side and Backstrom, you know, sort of a solid second line center, even if he is sort of not that very exciting. You know, and I know it's just preseason. I don't want to put too much, you know, stock into it, but that new third line there of Derek Ryan, Zarnik, and Frolik played really outstanding in the preseason for most of it. And, you know, and I'm not expecting them to sort of play that level like they did in the preseason, especially considering obviously the first half of the preseason games you're playing against, you know, half of an AHL team, you know. But if they could sort of, you know, sort of carry that over and just have good play and sort of add to that, you know, offense a little bit, suddenly that Calgary Flames might not just be a team in my mind that's just going to eke into the playoffs, that they could at least scare somebody in the first round and, dare I say, win the first round. I'm not saying that, but I'm sort of teasing it in my own mind. So I think Calgary is in as well. After that is definitely a toss-up. I love what you said about Anaheim, because I'm sort of seeing Anaheim predicted as, like, finishing second place, third place, all over the place, you know, in a lot of predictions. And I just didn't quite see it without, you know, and that was before the Corey Perry injury. And again, I think that was another fabulous point that you made, because it might be addition by subtraction. I still think Corey Perry is good enough that he's going to pot 20 goals for you. But with the salary and how much he's making and how much is obviously it's going to affect your salary cap just because you're committed to him, and the fact that you know he was going to start that season on the top line, whether he deserved to be there or not, at least that's the way it felt. You know, and sort of been that way for the last couple of seasons. And he basically played himself out of that top line the last 2 years, where he ended up sort of playing on the third line a lot. You know, so it really might be addition by subtraction there. You know, force them to give a guy like Tortorella an opportunity up on the top line in that right wing, or Case, you know, an opportunity on the top line. Although I do think that they're going to play him on the second line with Henrik, because they did have, you know, at least some decent chemistry last year for the second half of the year. But, you know, I think that's a good team. I love that defense. I'm not as worried about Gibson and his injury history as some other people are. I mean, I do think – I don't think you could ignore it, you know, but I think the last year and a half he sort of showed that he might be sort of coming out of that. He did play 60 games last year, and his injuries were a little bit more on the minor side, or at least not as concerning as things like a chronic groin problem. You know, that wasn't at, like, an issue specifically like last year for him, you know, but I totally see where you're coming from, where it's definitely much more of a wide open thing. But certainly Calgary and St. Louis are my two teams that didn't make the playoffs that I feel highly confident will make the playoffs this year. All right, George, well, let's turn our attention to specifically talking about divisions, going division by division. I want to know, obviously, who you think is going to be the division winner and why, but also how do you think the division overall is going to play out? And obviously this is specifically when we're talking about division and who's playing and first through seventh or first through eighth, you know, nobody's holding anybody to these specific placements. That's just too unrealistic to sort of peg down as a season prediction. But still, it's obviously going to give me a general sense of what you think about these teams and where you think they're obviously likely to end up. So starting with the division winner, starting back in the East in the Metropolitan Division, our home division, in terms of our own personal rooting interest, as I said, who do you think is the division winner, and how do you think the division plays out overall? George?
All right. As I said, most predictions are really kind of meaningless, but people do seem to like them for whatever reason. The Metropolitan Division, it's as I already said, in the Eastern Conference, they're the haves and the have-nots. Washington, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, Columbus are your haves. The other four teams are the nots. Yeah, so however you want to jumble them. I do wonder if Washington a little bit of a cup hangover. You know, Pittsburgh maybe gets a break postseason last year. So I'm going to swap those two teams. I'm going to give Pittsburgh 1, Capitals 2, give me Columbus 3, Philadelphia 4, because I think Columbus is a better team than Philadelphia. Philadelphia still has issues, mainly in goaltending, and we all know how I feel about goaltending. If you don't have it, boy, you really have a problem. Philadelphia is a decent squad, but they need to fix that goaltending. Elliott and Neuwirth, I'm surprised, just surprised they didn't do more to fix that situation. You know, neither one can be relied on as far as even staying healthy, more or less giving you quality goaltending game in, game out. So that's why they're fourth. For me, I'll take Columbus. It wouldn't even shock me. Man, if Seth Jones wasn't already hurt, I might even put Columbus number two here. They have the talent. Just really haven't been able to put it all together there. So those are my top four teams, all playoff teams. After that, Devils, Hurricanes, Islanders, Rangers. I mean, I'll give Devils next. I do think they're just a spot out here. I'll give the Islanders 6, Canes 7, Rangers 8, but really, it doesn't matter. They're all four non-playoff teams. I do think the Devils may be the best of those teams, but I don't think they're, you know, really leaps and bounds above the others. It wouldn't shock me if any one of those four teams finishes above them. Islanders, we all know, have their issues. They put Kunak on waivers today. That's great. You just signed the guy. We all knew it was a dumb sign to begin with, but yeah, you're putting guys on. I mean, so they're still mixed up there. They still don't know what they're doing. I don't even care if Trotz and Lamoureux, they're still making mistakes. Carolina, you trade Skinner. You don't get a whole lot back from him. You have goaltending issues as well. So it's tough to see where the addition's there. And we're not going to beat up the Rangers. We know they're rebuilding. Whether they want to admit it or not, they're rebuilding, which is fine. Teams need to do this. So that's the order I have here. But like I said, for the bottom four teams, Devils, Canes, Islanders, and Rangers, any order, 5-8, nothing would shock me. It would really be more of a shock if one of those teams actually got into the playoffs. And I think the only way they do is if one of the top four teams, probably the Flyers more than anybody else, you know, Giroux gets hurt. You know, they suffer a couple of injuries they can't overcome. That I could see happening. But other than that, Penguins, Caps, Jackets, Flyers, Devils, Islanders, Canes, Rangers.
All right. And, you know, and once again, I'm sort of right there with you. I have Pittsburgh and Washington flip-flopping for the very reasons that you said. Just a little bit worried about that, at least initial for the first month or two of the season, the hangover for the Washington Capitals and the rest over the summer for the Pittsburgh Penguins. Couldn't agree bit more about Columbus, particularly with that, you know, it's not the Seth Jones injury. I'd be tempted to maybe have them pushing for second place there. Philadelphia, it's just a question of goal, whether they're going to be a solidified playoff team or not, in my mind. George, I really liked what Carolina did over the summer. So I'm tempted to sort of even say that they can push for a playoff spot, but I just think that's probably a little too pie in the sky with all the youth that they have on that roster, with Nekas making the team and Svetnikov making the team and Zykov getting a full season after sort of the last 8-10 games of last year. You know, that's going to be your scoring. I mean, I'm sure that Jordan Staal and Justin Williams' line is probably going to get, in terms of minutes, be their top line or their second line, you know, but the other two lines are really going to be the scoring line, because let's be honest, Justin Williams and Jordan Staal, they're going to kick in some offense, but really they're more of a two-way defensive line, you know, and they're going to have the tough defensive responsibilities, you know, so I just don't know if realistically, you know, that offense is going to be able to produce enough for me to sort of make them a long shot pick to make the playoffs, as I'm tempted to do, because like I said, over the summer, I liked what they did, and particularly on defense, because I think that defense is good enough now, not that it's going to carry them, but that it's going to be a legitimately solid defense and maybe even have the ability this season to come and to develop into one of the better defenses. I'm not quite saying top 10, but top half of the league defense. And I just don't see how that goaltending can be worse than they were last year, even if Darling is not going to be a great goaltender, you know, depending on his injury situation there, since he got a little bit nicked up himself. You know, Mrazek has looked, pretty darn good in the preseason. But again, I'm not putting too much stock in that because, I mean, look, he looked like a world beater the first three or four starts he had for Philadelphia when he got traded there. And then he was just as bad as he was the last year and a half in Detroit, you know. So, but still, you know, I think they'll both be at least a little bit better and give them competent goaltending. I really like that defense. So if they can get some offense, if that youth, you know, doesn't have a huge learning curve, I think they could potentially challenge the Devils for that fifth spot, but it's like I said, it's just a little too pie in the sky thinking, rose-colored glasses kind of thing, to sort of put them up there. But so I have the Devils, then Carolina. And actually, George, you convinced me. I had, you know, for weeks, I had Rangers in last place in terms of my prediction in my head and the Islanders in seventh place. But based on part of the conversation that we had at our draft on Friday night, you actually sort of convinced me by saying, what have the Islanders done to improve that defense? Yes, Barry Trotz, I believe, will just be insist, just pure will, sheer will force of will, I guess is the word I'm looking, or phrase I'm looking for, and his system will improve that defense. But still, you don't have the parts to be that good of a defense. And that alone sort of convinced me to put the Islanders in last place and have the Rangers be in seventh place. But it's I could see them sort of, you know, all season vying for last place in the Metropolitan Division. All right, George, let's move over to the Atlantic Division. And again, I imagine you, just like you were saying before, this is pretty easy when it comes to the Atlantic Division in terms of predicting how the standings are going to go. How do you have it playing out, though, on the piece of paper in front of you, George?
Yeah, this division is the definition of the haves and have-nots. All right, I think we all know the four best teams: Lightning, Boston, Toronto, Florida. Once again, just what order you want to put them in. Detroit, bad. Montreal, very bad. Ottawa, extremely bad. Buffalo, maybe a tick above bad. So that's the way these teams are going here. I'd be surprised if whoever wins this division doesn't end up with home ice throughout the playoffs, because all four of these teams are going to destroy the Wings, Canadiens, Senators, and Sabres. It's a major advantage. I mean, you play the division games five times each. It's, 20 games there where – would it shock anyone if anybody goes 15-5, 16-4? Hell, I wouldn't be surprised if 18-2. That they are that bad. So that's the issue there. Who's going to win? And Tampa beat out Boston by 1 point last year. Tavares is on Toronto, so they're going 82-0. I guess I have to pick them first. Florida, they've made improvements here. I'm still going with the Tampa Bay Lightning. I still think they're the best overall team there. I know Toronto added Tavares, but if Nylander's not going to play, you sort of offset some of what Tavares can do there. You still have question marks on defense and question marks on goal. So you still have issues there. Give me Tampa 1. I'll go Toronto 2, mainly because Boston sort of is Carolina, and they're a one-line team, but it's a damn good line. They're better overall than Colorado, but they're a one-line team. Yeah, and they have better goaltending as well. So I'll go Toronto 2, Boston 3. I still do put Florida 4, mainly because of the goaltending. I just wish I could trust Luongo to play all those games. So what if he suffers an injury early? Only plays 25 games and misses 40. That wouldn't shock me either. So I still think they are a wild card team, technically, even though I think they're a very good team. It's just a very strong division here. Would it shock me if Florida's 3 and Boston's 4? No, it wouldn't. Because with Boston, I think they're sort of like a house of cards. You take out Pasternak, you take out Marchand, other than a suspension, or you take out Bergeron, you take out one of those cards, I wonder if it all comes crumbling down. You know, it's 82-game season. Tough to rely on all four of these guys staying healthy. So I think Boston does have some issues here, but I'll give them the third, because when they're all healthy, they're a dynamic team here. As for the bottom four teams, I'm going to go Sabres 5. As I said, before, I think the other four teams are really bad. The Sabres are a tick above bad. So I'm going to go Sabres 5 here. I'll go Detroit 6, because I just don't think they're as bad as the Canadian Senators. Really, I have nothing good to say about Detroit. They're just not as bad. Yeah, that's it. Canadian Senators are really atrocious. I mean, you said it earlier about, really, Shea Weber's your captain? Not only do I agree with you that he's not going to play till Christmas, but he's also not really a true Canadian. He barely played with him before he got hurt. You know, he's only been there for a little bit. You don't have a younger player who's grown up in the organization who you'd rather have as captain? You know, someone who might grow with you? That alone scares the crap out of me, because you don't have that player. You're right. You know, so it's just scary what's going on in Montreal there. But I'll pick them 7, Ottawa 8. But these two teams, I mean, scary. I think scary how bad they might be.
Yeah, I mean, I literally have verbatim what you have for the same reasons. I just like that Tampa Bay Lightning team. I definitely think that they are sort of, in a we got to win this year, because, things with salary cap in the coming years, especially now that Eisman's not the GM and he can work his magic, even though he's consulting for them for another year before I think he ends up becoming the Detroit Red Wings GM, but that's even more extra speculation there. I just think it's not quite make or break year. I think this year and next year would sort of be it, but they got to make it happen. And I think they're the most complete team for all the reasons that you said about the other teams. You know, I do have Toronto second, Boston third, Florida fourth. But you know, as you said yourself, if Boston has a little bit, if Bergeron's back is bothering him throughout the season, that alone, if he's in and out of the lineup, let alone out for a long period of time, could sort of propel Florida into that third spot, but I do have them fourth as well. I also have Buffalo, and then Detroit, Montreal, and Ottawa. The only way I've seen Montreal, and this isn't a complete stretch, I just think it's highly unlikely, if Price can come back and be the player that he was a couple of years ago. And I don't necessarily mean like all world, Carey Price, who's clearly the Vezina Trophy winner all season. But if he just plays at the top of his game or near the top of his game, I could see them inching out of Detroit and not being seventh and being sixth. But still, you're talking about a bad team that's going to have a bad year, and they're going to be a non-playoff team. All right, George, let's move it out to the west of the Central Division, where indeed it does start getting a little bit more complicated. How do you see it playing out after those first top two spots, which I assume is Nashville and Winnipeg for you? Just a matter of which order it plays out in. A, am I right about that? And B, what about the rest of the division? George?
Yeah, I still think these are the two best teams in the conference, Nashville and Winnipeg. I think they are that good. What separates them will likely be injuries. I mean, we all know Winnipeg has the great offense, right? They can roll 8-9 forwards at you. Defense is solid, goaltending. All right, let's see Hellebuck do it again. Yeah, let's see Hellebuck do it again, but he looks to be a very good goaltender. No weaknesses. Really, no weaknesses here. You know, Nashville, we know they're more on the defensive side. Fantastic defense. They can roll three solid defensive lines at you, really not lose much here. You might be a little bit worried about Rene as far as consistency, getting up there in age. Yeah, but still a good goaltender. And the offense is above average. It may not be great, but it's above average. It has room to improve. You know, they're going to lose Austin Watson for 27 games for, you know, being the idiot he is. Johansson is still waiting, you know, for him to play that well again, what he used to be when he came up. Forsberg's damn good. You know, Arvidsson has now come on here. You got to like what you see in Nashville. These are both well-rounded teams with no obvious weaknesses here. So I really don't care what order you want to put them in. You know, I think it's a slug-out battle here. Last season, Nashville won by a game and a half, 3 points. Could I see that being reversed this year? Absolutely. And I'm going to pick it reversed this year. You know, I'm going to give Winnipeg 1, Predators 2. I really don't have any reason for it. I just like maybe Winnipeg's overall team a little bit more than Nashville's. You know, that's just it. But like I said, for me, this will be an injury or two that decides this. You know, if whoever team suffers more injuries than the other, we'll probably finish second in that division. After that, man, it becomes much more interesting. I could pick Chicago to finish last, so I feel comfortable with that. But Minnesota, Colorado, St. Louis, Dallas, 3, 4, 5, and 6. I can go back and forth on this all night. I really can. I'm going to go St. Louis 3. I like the additions they've made. I do. I think they're a better team. I think Jake Allen plays with more consistency. I'm still going to give Minnesota 4. I think that veteran group will get them there again. Dubnyk solid in net. There's no upside in Minnesota. That's what's bothering me over and over again. There just is no upside here to them to make that next step. And I think there's a much better chance of them taking a fall than a rise. I truly do. So they're going to worry me here. I'm going to go Dallas 5. You know, I do think they're going to get better here. Not really a cup contender here, but maybe one that can squeeze into the playoffs in that eighth slot here. And I'll go Colorado 6. I think Colorado may need to come down a step before they move back up. And look at the bright side, Colorado. If you don't make the playoffs, you're going to have Jack Hughes next year because you have Ottawa's number one pick. Fantastic for the Senators.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's like, obviously I knew that, but I just hadn't thought about that fact, you know, that they have Ottawa's pick again, and they could make the playoffs. They could be, you know, that second line could have a huge, step forward this season, and Kerfoot and Yost, and suddenly they're a two-line team and a legitimate playoff team, and they could still get the number one draft pick and Jack Hughes overall. That's hysterical for Colorado and depressing for Ottawa. As far as I'm concerned, you know, it's funny. I agree with you that I just like that Winnipeg team better personally and enjoy watching them better than the Nashville team, but I still think that there's going to be just a little bit of progression, not a lot, you know, like Hellebuck is just not going to be all world. I think he's going to have another good season. He's going to prove himself a legitimate top goaltender. I don't think he's going to have a business season, though, you know, so that takes off a couple of wins and maybe a little bit of regression from some of those offensive guys that had really outstanding years. Instead of Laine scoring the 44, 45 goals, he scores 38, 36. And again, that might be just enough to take off another win or two. Nashville, I don't see them having a much higher ceiling. They kind of are what they are, but there are a couple of players like Fiala maybe Ryan Johansson, you know, there as well. I know a lot of, you know, fantasy owner fans and certainly Nashville Predator fans were hoping Tolvanen was going to make the team and be that player to add some extra offense there. But I just think we know what we're going to get from them. They have a chance for a couple players to give a little bit more offensively, and I think they know themselves they need to sort of up it just a little bit offensively if they're going to sort of make that next step and be a cup final team and a cup winning team. So I'm going to inch out Nashville as the number one over Winnipeg in the second slot. For me, St. Louis is the easy call at third. And then, George, this is probably my riskiest prediction of that all. I really like what Dallas has done. I think everything that you said that's worried you about them and that you're not quite on board is completely legitimate. And I can easily see myself eating my words in December, not even in April here. But I like the coach, especially for the personnel that they have. I think he's going to have a positive effect on Spezza. I'm not expecting Spezza to be the Spezza that he's going to be that he was in his prime, but I think he can be a 50-point player again. Not really a whole lot more than 50 points. I'd be a little bit surprised and pleased for him if he pushed 60 points, but I see him getting 50, 52 points. And over that 35 points or less that he had last year, that's going to make a sort of a big difference. I don't think Nishitskin's going to be a world beater, but I think he's going to be a contributor. I like the solid third line, and I really think that Montgomery's going to have a big positive effect on that defense, even if Heiskanen specifically, who I'm really looking forward to seeing what he can do, doesn't sort of jump on the scene and burst into high-end production. I just think on that defense he's going to have a big positive effect. And so that just means Bishop just needs to be relatively healthy, you know, which he was for the most part last year. Although he did have a little some dips in play where he sort of disappeared or wasn't very good for a bunch of games in a row a couple of different times in the season. But if he could sort of be that, you know, pretty solid, good goaltender, maybe very good goaltender but not great goaltender, I think that's enough to get them at least into fourth place. Whether it gets them in the playoffs is a much, much bigger question, because I have those same exact worries as I already expressed about Minnesota. I just don't see the upside here. They kind of are what they are. Then I have Colorado and Chicago running out the division as well for me, which brings us last but certainly not least to the Pacific Division. George, how do you see that playing out? Obviously, we both agree Vegas is going to be a very good team. I also have them in the playoffs again, but I just don't see how they replicate last year. In your mind, I know you have that opinion, but is it enough to bump them out of first place, or is their regression enough to sort of keep them as the first place team in your mind? Pacific Division, George, what do you think?
Yeah, Pacific Division is also a wee bit interesting. Now, once again, Edmonton, Vancouver, and Arizona, I don't really have them fighting for a playoff spot, which is a shame with Connor McDavid. You can't make that jump. But I think they just haven't done enough yet. So I think the other five teams will battle for those spots. Vegas. I think they're certainly a playoff team. I do. Do I think they're going to have 109 points again? You know, battle for the number one in the overall? No. I think they played with a lot of anger last year, whatever that meant. You know, there were a lot of pissed off players there for not being kept, and that fueled them, and that's fantastic. You don't have that this year. That's gone. You know, so I think now they come back down there. I think teams also, I think this plays into it, will be a little bit more used to going into Vegas for those road trips. You know, knowing how to handle it. So I don't even have Vegas finishing first. I'm going to go with San Jose Sharks finishing first. I like what they've done here. I'm a little annoyed by Joe Thornton being put on that top line. I think that's a mistake. Especially if the season rolls along, he'll slow down, blah, blah, blah. But I like what they've done. Andy Vanderkane, Eric Carlson, of course. I mean, wow. So I got Sharks 1, Knights 2. Number 3, I said, I'm not really all that big on the Ducks. I worry about the Ducks. The problem is, you know, I already said I agree with you about the Kings. I think Kings have issues of their own. Are the Flames going to make that big a jump to get over the Ducks? You know, that's really my question. Can they do that? And I don't think so. Not yet. I think they're damn close. I sort of want to pull that trigger. I do. I really want to pull that trigger, but I can't. Not yet. So I'll give Ducks 3. I'm giving Flames 4, Kings 5. Now, I have worries about the Kings as well. They're an old team that's generally not good in today's NHL, especially over a long season. Dustin Brown has a broken finger. Lord knows when he's going to be able to play. So I think there's all sorts of issues here that are already piling up for the Kings about what you're going to do here, how Kovalchuk fits in with the team. You know, no one really knows this. You mentioned there wasn't a very good preseason for them. So I think there are a lot of question marks here. So I'm going to go Sharks 1, Golden Knights 2, Ducks 3. That's the one that really I'm not feeling great about. I like every bone in my body wants me to go Flames 3. And screw it. Flames 3, Ducks 4, Kings 5.
All right. Well, you know, George, I was completely on board with your feeling about Vegas and them not being first place. And then the Pacioretty trade gives me pause on that, because I think being out under the spotlight, and specifically that being a captain of the Montreal Canadiens, especially how it sort of soured the last, like, 9 months or so, if not the whole calendar year with Pacioretty there. Just such a tremendous weight off shoulder, because it's not even he's going there and he's being the number one offensive option like he was in Montreal. He's going to be like the third offensive option there, you know, and maybe even the fourth if you get that whole first line to be ahead of him. And I would probably still put him ahead of Riley Smith, even though I really like Riley Smith. He won me over last year in a big way, you know. So that really sort of made the decision tough. But at the end of the day, I agree with you that I just like San Jose better. And so I have San Jose 1, Vegas 2, but I think it's going to be not as much as a fall-off. And again, I didn't have this huge fall-off for Vegas. It's just going to be a little bit smaller than I thought it was before that Pacioretty trade. And I couldn't agree with you more about San Jose and Joe Thornton, you know, because I'm a competitive guy and I'm petty. I think I even said it first back a month or two ago. When it came to it, you know, I just don't see how it doesn't make sense, other than maybe sort of bowing a little bit to, okay, Pavelski and Thornton, they've been so good together in the past, and the two of them want to play together. So as a coach and the GM, I'm saying, okay, that's what you want, and let you roll with it. I mean, and I don't think that's a justifiable excuse, even if that is the thinking, okay? But, you know, that Pavelski, Evander Kane, Donskoy, line played so well together. You know, I love the fact that you're putting Meyer on the second line with Couture, and you already know that Hurdle plays really well with Couture, so that's a nice line. You drop Thornton to the third line and have him playing with a youngster like LeBanc, who does look like he could be a solid offensive contributor, a guy who could score 20 to 25 goals. I think that solidifies that. And then you have this three-line team. You know, and that's not even including whoever you put the third player on that third line. And then, of course, you play Thornton on the number one power play unit with Pavelski and Kane. It makes so much sense to me. And then you're not only going to be the team that I'm picking in first place, but you're the team that I'm picking to probably make the cup final if you do that, in my opinion. I just find it really sort of frustrating because, again, it just seems like such an obvious thing for me to do. When it comes to the Calgary Flames, you can probably sort of guess that I'm already kind of like, they're kind of my team this year a little bit in terms of the up-and-coming team. I definitely have them. I'm very comfortable putting them at third. And that was before you sort of made the great points about, you know, Anaheim, which I was sort of feeling those doubts, but you sort of put those doubts into words, and it just sort of solidifies it even more for me, having them in fourth place. George, I want to put Edmonton next. I really do. Because I liked what I've seen from them. You know, Pujari, it does look like they actually, you know, he had a good enough preseason that I think they actually are going to play him with Draisaitl on the second line and Lucic, which really sort of, you know, heartens me, you know. And Yamamoto also surprised me because I think he's going to make the team as well, playing on the third line with Strom and Ryder. And I sort of really like Ryder on that third line rather than, okay, you're putting him on the second line because he's got the German. You know, he's got his speed and the connection with Draisaitl. Okay, I got it, especially coming into preseason that, you know, Pujujarvi hadn't proved anything just yet. So I like it even better now. I think the defense is not going to be as bad as they were last year, especially with with Clefbaum being healthy. Because that's one of the things that we forget. Clefbaum had a shoulder injury for three quarters of the season last year, and it was not a minor injury, but he played through it. And everybody knew it, and they took advantage of him. They took it to him physically, and they would just challenge him a lot more than they did in the year or two past. You know, so I just think that alone is going to make a big difference. Talbot, great first year, mad second year. I think he's going to sort of split the difference there. So, you know what, George, I'm talking myself into putting the Edmonton Oilers above the L.A. Kings just because of how bad the Kings preseason was. And I admit this is a little bit of a sort of a risky move for me, but I am going to go fourth Anaheim, fifth Edmonton Oilers, sixth LA Kings, then Arizona, and then the Vancouver Canucks is how I predict it is going to play out. All right, folks, that is all that we have for today. And our predictions, get ready to listen to us every Monday, every Friday at 2 o'clock, although I know most of our listeners do listen after the fact, which, of course, you're welcome to do. So, George, I'll let you go as I just remind everybody that we will be restarting the Fantasy Reports as our regular feature every single podcast that has the IR report, the goalie report, line combination updates, as well as waiver wire recommendations. And then we'll also talk on the ice hockey, fantasy hockey tips and recommendations. We'll take your questions if you do have it. And maybe if it's a really intriguing question in particular, we'll talk about it on air. Maybe, you know, trade possibilities and whatnot. So certainly feel free to write us as far as that concerned. Doing it through Twitter would certainly be the ideal way. I will also be releasing our email that you can write us to as well on Friday's show for any possible questions that you want us to answer in general, but maybe particularly on air. And, of course, throughout the season, we'll have regular features like power rankings and other discussions of what's happening current events-wise in the NHL. So stick with us all season long for your one-stop shopping, whether it's on the ice or fantasy hockey. Have a good hockey season, everybody. Get ready and excited for it to start in a couple of days. But we'll talk to you on Friday.